Well, right now it is 6:38, and in this 22 minutes, we're going to be talking the various. We're going to be talking about the various ailments and women-related cancers that generally I think we'd focus on during Women's Month. But let's start this month basically emphasizing that it is the 1st of August. Yes, we're going to be talking women empowerment, sometimes using lots of platitudes as we go along. But I basically want to remind everyone that whilst we are very much concerned about COVID-19, there are still other diseases and health-related matters that we need to keep an eye on. So helping us have that conversation is CEO of Proactive Health, our resident doctor, Fundile Nyati. Good morning, Dr. Nyati. Hope you're well today.
Good morning, Risilwe, and morning to your listeners, and happy Women's Month to you and all the women listeners of 702.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Nyati. Let's talk about firstly, the scourge of cancers, or the common cancers that we generally tend to see and deal with in South Africa. Can you tackle that for us and perhaps talk to us about the sort of disease burden or rate that we tend to see here at home?
All right. Thank you very much. I think one needs to put the whole issue of cancers in the right context.
Mm.
Now, in South Africa, you know, when one looks at the death statistics every year, you know, looking at what are the top drivers of deaths in South Africa, there is a big category there that is called non-communicable diseases. All right? So that category of non-communicable diseases, which forms about 58% of all deaths,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been rapidly rising. It includes the cancers.
Okay.
Now, so it is important, therefore, that we focus on cancers because they are contributing to a lot of people who are dying every year in South Africa. But because we are talking Women's Month, yes, we now need to talk about cancers that are common amongst females in South Africa. And there are five cancers that are very common amongst women in South Africa. The first one is breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one cancer, you know, amongst females in South Africa. That is followed by cervical cancer, or cancer of the mouth of the womb,
mm-hmm.
As the number two cancer in South Africa. And if I just look at those two, like I said, breast cancers are number one,
sure.
Cervical cancers are number two. But if we look at it from a race point of view, cervical cancers are actually most common amongst the black females,
mm-hmm.
And then breast cancers are number two. But when we take the total population, breast cancers are number one, cervical cancers are number two.
Okay.
And the third one is what we call colorectal cancer, cancer of the large bowel and the rectum. Is the number three cancer in South Africa amongst females.
Mm-hmm.
And then number four, cancer of the uterus, that is the womb itself, not the mouth of the womb, but
sure.
The womb itself, the lining of the womb is number four. And number five, it's lung cancers. You know, so those are the top five cancers that we see in South Africa amongst women. But the top two, the breast and the mouth of the womb are mm-hmm. obviously overwhelming majority.
Sure. So so what we know with the first one that you've listed, breast cancer, is self-examination is one method that's often touted quite religiously for women to do. It's obviously you don't need to go into a doctor, you don't need to go in and see a doctor. If there's some kind of shape in the mass, the texture, the feel of your own breasts, then it's time to head on over to a doctor or your clinic and say, guys, something feels different, right? If you could run us down the line of symptoms to watch out for in the rest of these cancers that you've outlined for us, I think that'll be very, very helpful.
Yes. All right. Let's start with breast cancers. Like you just mentioned, you know, if there's any change, you know, in one's breast, you know, and let me just talk quickly about those changes.
Sure.
Quickly. If one has a lump on their breast or armpit, and it is sudden, that's something to make you concerned. If there is change on the surface of the skin, there's some puckering, you know, almost like the orange peel, sure, type of thing, you must be worried. If there is a change around the nipple itself, or there's some discharge in the nipple that hasn't been there before, that's something that should make you worried. If there's a retraction of the nipple, it goes inside, that should worry you. Or if there's, sagging of one of the breasts, you know, where the nipple is actually much lower, sure, than the other side. So all of these things that are happening, but the starting point is know your body. If you know your body, you know your breasts, then any change to what you know is something that should make you worried. And you've said, yes, self-breast examination at least once a month is very important. Mm-hmm. And then, at least once a year when you have your annual medical, have clinical breast examination, and also have what we call mammograms, at least every 2 years you have a mammogram.
Sure.
All right. So that is for breasts. But when it comes to the cancers of the cervix or the mouth of the womb, usually a person there will present with issues of bleeding from, their vagina, in between the periods. Or they may have a discharge that is continuous and usually offensive. Mm. It's continuous. Or the periods themselves become heavier and last longer than usual. Or after having intercourse, you get what we call post-coital bleeding, so those are the common symptoms that should alert you to a possibility, of cancer of the womb. One of the symptoms I forgot there is vaginal bleeding after menopause, because there shouldn't really be any bleeding once you've reached menopause.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the common symptoms and signs for, cancer of the cervix. Now, when we look at the third common one, which is the colorectal cancer of the large bowel, now that's another cancer that is becoming very common amongst, the black people. It wasn't really that common before. We used to see it more in the Caucasian population. However, we're seeing more and more of those kind of cancers, now amongst black people. Part of it is obviously the change in the lifestyle, the kind, sure, of diet, mm-hmm, and all of that. And there, the symptoms that are common, there tends to be a change in bowel habits. You have a prolonged diarrhea or prolonged constipation, and you just don't understand, why is it so? Sometimes you get bleeding from the rectum or find blood in the stools, fresh blood in the stools. That should worry you. I know that other people may have fresh blood from piles,
sure,
but this is also another possibility. You get persistent abdominal, discomfort, cramps, or become very gassy, or just pain in the abdomen, but you just can't really point out as to why you're having this, or feeling that when you've gone to the loo for number two, but you feel like you have not completely, emptied, your rectum, mm, after going to number two. Those are some of the symptoms, and they may obviously be unexplained weight loss. If you have any of those things, you must worry. These normally begin as what we call polyps or some growths of the lining of the large intestines. And so it is important that, especially from people who are 50 and above, you have what we call a colonoscopy at least once every 10 years. They put in a tube with a camera, and that looks through your large intestines. And if they see growths there, they can be able to take a piece of that and send it to the lab. So very, very important. But watch for that bleeding when you go for number two, because that could be a pointer.
Mm.
And then the fourth one was the uterine cancer. And uterine cancer, here we're talking the cancer of the actual body of the uterus, but looking at the lining of that, mm-hmm, the lining that is normally shed every month, when one has menses, it can actually develop cancer as well. And the symptoms are very much similar to those of the cancer of the mouth of the womb, in the sense that the person will tend to have bleeding.
Sure.
You know, will have bleeding after menopause. It tends to be, older people who are in menopause. But you can also have bleeding between periods and pelvic pain. So they are very, very non-specific. Just you've got bleeding. And if that bleeding is persistent after menopause, or bleeding between periods, or you've got abdominal pain, sure, worry about the cancer of the uterus. And the last one, number five, is the lung cancer. And we're seeing more and more of lung cancers amongst women globally, but also here in South Africa. Part of that is the fact that more and more women are actually smoking, and their smoking and alcohol consumption are actually big, risk factors generally for all cancers, but here specifically smoking. And the symptoms there, it's a new cough that doesn't go away. Changes, if you are what we call a smoker's cough,
sure,
where you cough up, blood at times, even if it's small amounts, sometimes may have even shortness of breathing, frequent chest infections, may have swelling of the neck and face,
sure,
from the swollen glands, and you may even have, wheezing or hoarseness. Obviously, some of these may be confused with COVID-19 at this moment, but the difference here is that they have been there for a longer period, and they may not be accompanied by a rise in temperature.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the top five cancers: cancer of the breast, mouth of the womb, of large intestines, of the uterus, and also of the lung.
So this is what I'm curious about, Dr. Nyati, and we will talk about, where applicable, if these are generally, if your one's lifestyle may contribute to being susceptible to these cancers, how we can amend that, how we can fix that, how we can fix and arrest the situation. But with having this conversation, as you said, against the backdrop of this pandemic, this virus, COVID-19, and so many resources have now been pushed to or pivoted towards dealing with this virus. If you are someone in this position who has either the symptoms or has just been diagnosed, how do you make sure that, number one, you get the requisite testing and diagnosis? And if you are in the early stages of diagnosis, how do you make sure that your treatment is prioritized in the manner that it should be?
Well, as you rightly say, there has been an increased focus on COVID-19 in South Africa, and sometimes to the detriment of, focus on other, health challenges that are actually, affecting our people, whether we're talking other chronic, diseases of lifestyle, or, the two cancers in this top five we've spoken about, cancer of the breast and cancer of the mouth of the womb, are actually national priorities.
Okay.
So when you now have focus on COVID-19, at the expense of these national priorities, you can even include HIV and TB and others, that creates a problem. So specifically now on the cancers, people are more worried about COVID-19. So their minds are switched on to looking at symptoms of COVID-19. And sometimes they may miss some of these symptoms, of these top five cancers.
Sure.
That's number one. So the early detection. So number two, because one is not acutely ill at that point, so they may ignore some of these symptoms and not present, for investigation by their treating doctor or even to hospital. And we have seen that even people who are diagnosed with some major illnesses, they actually did not go for their maintenance, or investigations during this time of COVID, because they are more fearful of COVID at the expense of the necessary treatment. So we expect then that some of the people who should have presented because of suspicious symptoms, they did not go. Number three, investigations that were already, booked so that they can be checked whether they have some of these cancers, some of those, because they are not urgent, they could have been postponed so that you can give more space in the hospital for COVID patients.
Mm-hmm.
But in some of the patients, that can have a detrimental effect because a cancer obviously is spreading all the time. So somebody who may have been caught at stage 2 may now be found later at stage 3 or stage 3 to stage 4. So the delay in the actual staging of a particular cancer so that an appropriate intervention can be put in place could be a negative result of the focus on COVID at the expense of the others.
Yeah.
And obviously those who are already on treatment, things like chemotherapy and also radiotherapy or even surgical interventions, also some of those could have been postponed, you know. So really I think it is important what we are doing today to actually say, yes, we recognize COVID, you know, but let's not drop the ball on other issues that are actually as important and have caused more deaths in South Africa than even COVID has done.
So, I mean, this is a huge balancing act that so many people have to do. You also don't want to venture out unnecessarily and perhaps even go to a hospital unnecessarily, right? At the same time, you want to make sure that you stay on top of this situation so that, like you said, you don't find yourself suddenly having to address a cancer in stage 3 or stage 4 when it could have been found or addressed in an earlier stage. So, Dr. Nyati, essentially, should people not think of this as an elective process, these investigations and or surgical interventions? Should they not think of it as elective but try to find the best way possible or the safest way at this point to still go ahead and deal with it?
Well, I think it is very important that the health services, by the way, even in level 5, you know, health services were considered essential services.
Sure.
And some of these conditions, there is no real reason why they should have been postponed, you know, that is either the investigations or the interventions.
Okay.
But we do know, though, that in some institutions, these procedures were cancelled. And I actually think it is wrong, or it was wrong to do so. It could actually be considered a human rights issue, you know, because now you are differentiating. But all of these are actually causing, you know, morbidity and mortality amongst our people. And yes, some things where the delay is not going to cause harm, it can be delayed.
Mm-hmm.
However, stuff that is progressive, there shouldn't really be a delay. So for me, I think in some instances, there has been a dropping of the ball.
All right. And, you know, in terms of just that from a lifestyle management perspective, just give us an overview of where we can, you know, pull some things back, where we can introduce healthier ways of being in the world and living so that if we're at risk from a family and genetic perspective, we put ourselves at an advantage, really.
Yes. Well, I think let's start with your last point, or, you know, some of these cancers, there's actually a familial, you know, or hereditary, you know, trend. You know, for example, if we talk about breast cancers, there is, you know, a high chance that if you had a relative, you know, like your mother or grandmother,
yeah,
who has had a breast cancer, your chances of getting that is very high. That's why people like Angelina Jolie, you know, on discovering that she's got the gene that actually makes her to have a higher risk, she went and removed her breasts and started a trend where people, as part of prevention, once they have delivered babies, they no longer want to have babies, they go and remove breasts. So it is very, very important that you are aware of your family history. And if you are one of those people with a high risk, then you seek help quickly. But other general lifestyle issues like, you know, dealing with obesity, you know, both in terms of nutrition and also physical exercise, you know, obesity is a high risk factor to most of these cancers. Lack of exercise, regular exercise, it's actually a risk factor. Abuse or high use of alcohol and tobacco is also, you know, a risk that people can be able to manage. So if you manage obesity, reduce your intake of alcohol, reduce your smoking, that will go a long way, including what you eat. You know, the more fresh veggies and fresh fruits and water that you drink, the better than actually, you know, eating processed stuff that sometimes may have some of the carcinogens, things like what we call a red dye and other, you know, things that are put when food is being prepared. So it's important that we try and eat as organically as possible and have, you know, drink water rather than, you know, some of these things that we buy, which we don't know what has been put inside. Those are just general lifestyle things. But when it comes to the cancer of the cervix, I want to point out that it's one of the cancers where we can actually prevent it through a use of a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And so for women in South Africa, and that is the number one cancer for women in South Africa, the cancer of the cervix. So for young girls that are pre-sexual, it is so important that as parents, we make sure that they get the human papillomavirus vaccine, ideally from age 9 mm-hmm. Up to about age 13. You know, obviously we don't know when they start becoming sexual, but preferably before they become sexual.
All right. Dr. Nyathi, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it right there as we are heading on over into news, but really appreciate those insights. And of course, we crammed a lot into that 22-minute conversation.